Blog Talk Radio.
Relationship you're in, what if that's the only relationship you get this year? What if what you have is all you get and you don't get no more? What if they're not giving out more than what we're going to do?
How many of you know that if you had your life to live over again, you could do more than what you've done? That proves the point that what we do and what we accomplish in life is only a tip of the iceberg of what's possible for us.
Based on all the evidence we have, we estimate you have 30 days left.
I refuse to die an unlived life. If you die this very moment, what will die with you? What dreams, what ideas, what talents, what leadership potential, what greatness that you showed up to bring, that you allowed fear or procrastination to hold you back. Only to realize that you've never lived. Only to realize that you've never scraped the surface of your potential.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
See, most people stop short of their dreams because of the rejections of life. You will always be rejected.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflations and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Whatever legacy you're going to leave, leave your legacy. Wins and losses come a dime a dozen. But effort, nobody can judge effort.
He takes the ball up the sideline, looks at a couple of three, and it's about to blow.
When you have a dream, it doesn't often come at you screaming in your face. Dreams always come from behind you, not right between your eyes. It sneaks up on you. Sometimes a dream almost whispers. Whispers, it never shouts. Very hard to hear. So you have to, every day of your lives, be ready to hear what whispers in your ear. It very rarely shouts.
That moment in time was one of the darkest moments I've had in my whole life. My motivation was out the door, like I just wanted to give up.
I need you to be who you're supposed to be. Don't let nobody stop you from being who you're supposed to be. Don't let nobody out-talk you. Don't let nobody tell you the doors are shut. Don't let nobody tell you that opportunities don't exist. Don't let nobody tell you that. I need you to be who you're supposed to be, because when you are who you're supposed to be, you're superhuman.
I don't want to delude.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death, and they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity we wed ourselves to life and to everything good and everything that flows from it.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, 3 were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes, to love your country, you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the streets.
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
And the Federal Reserve. And the fractional banking system.
And the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul. And the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You, the people, have the power. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, let us all unite!
God save the Republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. God save the Republic.
All right, everybody. Joseph Gibson, podcasting here, Greensboro, North Carolina. It's about 7:44 p.m. We are live. I had a story here I wanted to read here from the information age here that we're in, but I can't find it. I don't know why. What the heck's going on? It's like the every single time after when I do this podcast. Now the second story that I want to read, and I debate which one. There's two of them I pick, and then if the show longs, you know, callers or subject matter, I use the other one as the backup one. And it seems like I've been trying to outsmart my computer. It's not working because I've been picking the first one, and the first one goes away, and I end up with the second one. So what I did was I switched them, and I ended up with the one that I didn't want anymore, first this time again. So I don't know. I said, you wouldn't understand, I guess, maybe if you did. You have to see what I'm looking at. But with the, these intros that I play that in the beginning there, it's a lot of people. Some people don't like them. Some people do. A lot of people have to understand something. The live callers that call in to the show, or the people that are listening online, you have to understand, a lot of people download the show and they listen on their way to work in the morning or on their way home from work the next day after the show has been aired. So that's why I do the intros, because sometimes that's what they like listen to when they drive. You know, it's easier to get to receive the information while they're driving, doing 65, 70 miles an hour down the highway. You know, and some of these people that listen, one guy I talked to, he drives 2.5 hours every single morning. I mean, you know, and then at night he's driving back. So he said my show helps him, you know, sometimes to, you know, get through that drive. So, you know, imagine driving to work 2.5 hours every single day, and he works 6 days a week. And he lives out in Montana. You know, so Montana, we know, you know, those roads out there, I mean, even when you're going 100 miles an hour, you know, because I don't think they got a speed limit on Montana. I think I asked him that once. I think they did away with that, though. They used to have no speed limit on the roads in Montana. I think they dropped it to 85 or something now. I think that's what it is now. I'm not 100% sure, but there's nothing out there. I mean, you go to Montana. I mean, I've been to Montana, and let me tell you, it's just the highways just go forever and ever and ever. I mean, they say Texas is a long state too to drive through, but Montana is just different. In the wintertime, it's like the freaking frozen tundra. I mean, it's hard to see the road. You know, remember, there's no street lights. I mean, it's very difficult to see where you're going, and it's really not recommended you drive in the wintertime up in Montana after 2 p.m. because, you know, starts getting dark about 3, you know. So, I mean, it's really insane. I mean, it's really a different type of world. It's a whole different world. Right now, it's nice weather in Montana. I think it's starting to warm up. This is their springtime in most sections of the state. It's their early spring, early, very early. And then they end up with, you know, some warm temperatures at the end of June and July. And then about mid-August, it starts getting cold, and you can actually see snow coming in. Snow start coming in. Very, very odd. When I lived in the mountains of New Hampshire, same thing. Very odd. They had five seasons there. They had the full autumn. They had winter, spring, summer, fall, and then they had mud season also. They had mud season, excuse me. So mud season was usually between March and May. And then summer, it'd start warming up. You know, so because it would snow pretty much, you know, all the way to about mid to end of April in the mountains there. North Stratford, New Hampshire, that's where my grandma lived. You know, she had a log cabin up there. My grandfather built a log cabin, and as soon as he finished the log cabin, he had a heart attack and died. So he didn't get a chance to enjoy it. I guess, you know, he knew he had heart condition, but he just what he lived for, and he lived for it his entire life, I guess, and. You know, that's what his dream was to build a log cabin by hand. And, you know, how many people do that nowadays? How many people know how to do that nowadays? I mean, you know, it was very, you know, quite a learning lesson there, you know, doing the foundation and everything. And it was a nice cabin, very, you know, very nice. I like how he did the, when he built it, he did how he did it. He had was 2 floors to it, but the second floor only went halfway through the house. So you had like the one half of the house was just like real high, you know, and you could see everything. And then the other half, you had the 2 floors. So, it was, you know, they called it the loft up top there. And then they eventually enclosed in the loft. And then, of course, my grandmother, her son, which would be my uncle, he's passed away since. He was about my age. He inherited the cabin, he convinced my grandmother to sell the cabin because to piss away all the money that she would leave him, you know, and that's what he did. And he pissed it away on drugs and ended up overdosing and dying or whatever have you. And I think, he's out there and still unclaimed body in the morgue. I mean, I don't know. The kid just was a screw-up. He had everything handed to him. And, when Grandma died on my father's side, she left everything to him. And he just squandered it away. First thing he did when she passed away, and he was the executor of the estates or whatever, and first thing he did, listen to what he did. First thing, trip to Hawaii. Vacation. He needs a vacation. He wasn't working. He was unemployed. But he needs a vacation. Sounds like what we got today, right? America. I need a vacation. People are on unemployment, and as soon as they get a job, they need a vacation. Or, what is this with this vacation thing? I mean, nobody needs really a vacation out there today. For most work, anyway. I mean, come on, vacation. I need a vacation. Unbelievable. But anyway, yeah, he took a vacation to Hawaii. He dropped $18,000 there. I remember my other uncle, Mike, who used to call into this show years ago. Mike was a retired dairy farmer. And I remember him being very pissed off. I mean, he was just that, because it was his mom, too. Darren was his name. He was the youngest of all the brothers and sisters. And so she left everything to him, which is fine. That's your choice. When someone passes away, it's their choice what they do with what they earned. But it's a shame to squander it away. I mean, just think what, your legacy. I mean, how disrespectful is that? Someone works their entire life and hands it to you when they pass away, and you piss it away on drugs. Or on vacations. For goodness sake, invest it in something then, a business or something. Even if you lost it all, at least you took a chance, at working at something for a living. Not like today. It's disgusting. And you see this every single day. And that brings us basically to what we have out there in society today. A degenerate, morally bankrupted, dumbed-down society that has no courage. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine today, and we were talking about, things of that nature of, look, the founding fathers, how we were talking about how America became corrupted right away by Freemasonry and Illuminatis and whatnot, how the War of 1812, we were talking about history and whatnot. And really, the United States has been battling since its inception, its birth, with these with the evil powers of the world. Look what's happened to our Constitution. We talk about that all the time, get into very large debates and discussions about it. You don't have a Constitution anymore. It's been usurped. It's been codified. All the laws have been codified. And they've been fermented by greed, power-hungry people who want control, influence over your daily lives. To control you. And people say, well, it's a good thing to control people, right? It's a good thing. No, it's not. It's not. And we'll have a society of people running around, going crazy. Everybody will be going nuts. They'll be hurting each other. Listen, I didn't say not have a society without law and order, but law with that, common law, common sense. Do no harm. Don't offend your neighbor. How are you going to punish those people? The prisons today are filled with people that don't belong there. That is a common sense error that we can figure out. Very simple. But they don't want to because why? Because it's money. It's greed to keep them people in there. Imagine if all the prisons were to shut down in America. That's a huge part of the economy. The courthouses, the money that flows through these criminal courthouses with their docket numbers, QSIC numbers they call them, really, that money that locks up these bonds and municipal bonds and trading that they do and their slush funds all these courthouses have, all the money that could feed the people that are homeless and hungry to help them get on the feet and start new industries, start new jobs, creativity, all this money that's wasted, this fake money, but still we use it to barter with. But we have to control people, This guy didn't pay a fine. He's a bad boy, so we're going to lock him up and give him a QSIC number. And then we can lock him and we can rake in some money, And that's how we go to work at 10 o'clock and get out at 1 o'clock. you know, and drive around in $80,000 trucks, you know, at the blood and expense of others for doing nothing wrong whatsoever. Nothing. There's lots of men and women that are locked away, kidnapped, locked away in concrete boxes today because of greed, control, and corruption. There's no need for it, need whatsoever. And these people should be released from prison. Yet they're political prisoners. That's how I see it. Now, what about the guy who diddled the little kid and everything? Of course he belongs in prison. How about the guy who shot the store clerk? Of course he belongs in prison, if found guilty. Yes. They should go to prison. An eye for an eye. You go, that's it. Now, then that's, you could have review boards put together to review on a case by case. Not a lump sum. You don't lump everybody into one pool and generalize everybody into one category and everybody gets treated like the same. And no, everybody gets treated differently. Okay? And what happens is you go case by case and you use common sense. When you think about it, it's all common sense. You know, if you're a rationally, logically sound person, this is very simple to figure out. You know, let's just pretend, let's just use something since we're talking about prisons. Okay, you elect a panel of people, all right, or in your community that represent and reflect the general public itself of the census that live in that community. So if you have 90% black people in that community, you're going to have 90% on that board. That's just the way it's going to be. You know, you're not going to have all white people because that creates what? Division and disagreement. You know, and same thing, or vice versa, whatever it may be. It's common sense. This board, this panel goes in, looks at the individual, everybody say there's 1,000 inmates in this prison, okay? You go one at a time, review the file, and review what they've been doing, because everything's documented today. Everything you do is tracked and traced. We have the technology that's keeping up with us, right? But we don't use it for the betterment of our people. And we use it to control, like I was just talking about, and to suppress. But all this technology can be used to say, hey, you know, and all these tools that we have to teach people, because there's a lot of people out there that want to do good, that are just victims of the system, people that made poor choices because of the situation they were in at a particular time in their lives. Or that's the deck they got handed, and those are the cards they got you had to use to play with. Well, you can give them a brand new deck, and you give them new cards, and now they can go play the game a little bit better. You know, and some people may make the same mistake again. Oh, well, we have the tools to teach people. You don't need to keep people in there for 25 years for stealing a color TV, okay? It's just it's stupid. Well, it's a three-strike rule. What asinine idiot came up with that rule? It's got to be an idiot, you know, or whoever did that three-strike rule out there in California. That is just stupid. Three strikes, you're out. Not playing no damn baseball. You're playing with men and women's lives. These idiots in these freaking suit and ties. They walk around. They get detached from society. They don't know where they came from. Or some of them never came from anywhere anyway. You know, this is ridiculous. And we're coming up to elections again, the midterms, and that's why it's so very important to understand what we're dealing with out there. And we have to understand that if you're in your county, your city, your town, your borough, there has to be some sort of oversight of these elections so that corruption or this election fixing cannot happen again. And you have that right as an American citizen to ask questions and to demand answers through your First Amendment. Very simple. And, you know, and don't say it's not your problem because it is your problem. Very simple. We have to start getting involved locally, individually, and start coming together as a people because the new world order is coming. And I've talked about this so many times over the years. And people just don't understand it. They think it's a joke. It's funny. I'm not going to get on a microchip in my lifetime. Yeah, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. Listen, today people listen a little bit better than they did 20 years ago. Because let me tell you something. When I talked about the New World Order 20 years ago, they did. They called me crazy. I was a nut job and this and that. But today they're more of receptive and they've heard it. You know, and these globalists and their agenda, they are purely controlled by evil. Evil. And there is no whatsoever convincing them of reason or rational, logical understanding to come up with a common sense solution that can better everybody around you, including yourselves, me, and everyone else. There's no convincing those people. Okay? There's none. Now, what you're going to do with them, I'm not going to say my own individual preference of what I would do, but I'm just saying we can all decide and come up with a justice. Justice can be served. I mean, we're an intelligent people here, supposedly here in America. We have all the resources, tools, and whatnot. We're the richest country in the world, but yet we have these problems that are rising up, and we have a society that is crumbling all around us. Why? You know, and you have to sit back and look at it and say, why? You know, and I'm not going to get into my personal problems in my life because that's a mistake that I can't do as a podcaster. So it's hard for me to talk about things that I go through because I've learned the hard way sometimes because you got idiots out there that just micromanage everything you do and want to put it in a microscope and then 80 shows later want to dig something up and twist it around and stomp it into the ground. So, I get why some people don't have to be careful when they call into this podcast or any other podcast. If they're known or if somebody knows them, they get harassed, you know, and I get that. And that's the sick elements of society. We hear them when they call into this show, the perverted jokes and nonsense that they pull, you know, because they think everything's a joke and it's funny because they got it good right now. But when times are tough, though, they cry like little babies, you know. So, you know, it's just... These are the problems that we face, and that's why the show is called Understanding the Times in Which You Live Today. So I figured I'd throw that out there today as my little intro, I guess, maybe kick you in the, you know what, and get you motivated and moving. And I do not condone violence in any way, shape, or form, so I'm not telling anybody to go out and do that. So if you're planning on doing that, but you didn't, I'm not acknowledging that and not condoning that. I believe in handling things a lawful way. There is a procedure, and there is a proper way of doing things. And you can, if you're able to speak, walk, and talk, and write a letter or what have you, or a keyboard, or email, then you should handle things lawfully. You know, now if anyone infringes or trespasses upon you to where you're backed into a corner on your own in your home or something like that, then obviously you could use common sense. You know, like again I said earlier, common sense, common law. So anyway, phone number is 657-383-0616. Forgot to invite my two people on here that I wanted to talk tonight with. I had two people that I wanted to, that were going to call in here tonight. I forgot to have them, forgot to call them right before the show. So, but I had some backup here of things that talk about, like I said, when I originally opened up here. Let's get to what I wanted to talk about. Where's this video at? A lot of people don't like to talk about religion and whatnot, and I'm not going to turn this into that type of show where we talk about religion, but when we always talk about politics and, like I just talked about, morality and ethics and belief and foundation, God comes into the role because there has to be a final authority, a final decision maker, you know, and that we all look up to that's going to make a decision for all of eternity what we're going to face. I mean, unless you're an atheist or agnostic or someone who doesn't worship God that believes in the devil, I don't know. You know, whatever you believe in, it still holds true that there's going to be an end solution to your life. As we see, you know, so try to sit back and realize this, that you're going to die one day and you're going someplace, whether it's in the ground with the worms or to heaven or hell or Mars or wherever you believe in. You're going someplace. And so there's going to be an answer. There has to be an answer to that question of what's going to happen to you and why. You know. So, but you know, Bible positions on political issues are very interesting topics to examine. So I'll just play a little something here, and then we maybe we'll generate some talking points. If not, that's fine too. No big deal. I'll just continue on. But I figured this would be something of interest that we can discuss, perhaps. Because we always get into heated discussions when it concerns this. But anyway, okay, I'm going to play this. Hopefully the audio and sound quality will be good. I didn't upload it, so I'm going to connect it, see how that works out for you, and see where we go from there. I tried to cut out what I could out of here, so we'll go from there. Bible positions on political issues.
Mm. choose between law and order and anarchy in the streets. If we do not choose law, then we have chosen anarchy. We, the people, must preserve the law, legal structure of these United States. The American Socialist Party, aka Liberal Democrats, are promising to tax people 70% of their income. We're going to remove all the stress from your life. Really? I thought only the Lord could do that. We're going to guarantee you a successful financial future. There'll be a national ban on fracking. That means they're going to go to war with the oil company, and your gas is going to be $4 a gallon, and we will be energy dependent on Saudi Arabia again. They're going to guarantee you a wealth. They're going to have deep cuts in defense budget. There will be no police force to stop the socialist mob that will come down the street to rob your house, to burn your house, to burn your city, to burn your business, to attack your church, to attack your synagogue. Pastors will be sent to jail, just like happens in Russia or China. And they think that's wonderful. You think that can happen? It's happening now in America. Police budgets are being cut by the millions. Anarchists rule the streets of America right now, and the police are in handcuffs. Wake up, America. We need a vibrant police force in every major city of the United States of America to control these thugs. What do all of these major cities in America have in common right now? The ones that are burning, the ones that are encouraging the chaos. The thing they have in common is that they have all been run by liberal Democrats for decades. They are the portrait of socialism and the world tomorrow. Many Americans think socialism will never come to America and never be accepted. Think again. The most startling poll was the YouGov survey that reported that given a choice, listen, 44% of America's young people between the ages of 16 and 29 would prefer to live in a socialist nation than in a capitalist nation. Think about that. Another 7% would choose communism. 44 and 7 is 51%. They're going to go vote. The question is, are you going to go vote? Are you going to go vote? The day every American patriot has had enough of being treated as collateral damage in the socialist war against America will be the day we take America back. America, wake up to the reality that our future is hanging in the balance. We need to speak up. We need to fight back. We need to stand up for our constitutional rights and our biblical faith. We will not surrender to the other side. The Bible takes a strong and bold position against socialism. In the Bible, you get nothing until you work for it. What a wonderful idea. You don't sit on the couch waiting for the government to send you a check in the mailbox. God worked for 6 days. You should try it. It's God-like to work. All work is honorable. All work is honorable. The Ten Commandments, the cornerstones of civilization, says, 6 days you shall work. Wow. St. Paul, the founder of the New Testament church, says, a man who does not work shall not eat. Chisel that over the doorpost of Health, Education, and Welfare Department. And then there are people saying, oh, that's not like Jesus at all. You just don't know the Jesus of the Bible. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. When you stand before God, he's not going to applaud you because you arrived. He's going to reward you because of what you did. And if you did nothing, it will be obvious to everyone for eternity. That's God's plan for man. As Christians, it's time to reclaim our freedom of speech. We are losing the right to say what we think or believe, because the thought police will find us vulgar and ignorant. The New Testament had a freedom of speech issue. Peter and John in Acts 4 preached the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and boldness. The sick were being healed. The lame were walking. The blind were seeing. Multitudes of people were coming to hear. These people preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the Roman government reaction? Listen, have you heard this recently? The Roman politicians met and had a city council meeting, Acts 4:17. And the city council said, let us severely threaten them that from now on they should not speak the name of Jesus. That's a freedom of speech issue. Shut down the churches. Forget, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as commanded in the Word of God. Reaction of the apostles, Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may preach the Word. And when they had prayed, the place where they were praying, where they were assembled together, which means there's more than 10. The place where they were assembled together was shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit.
The United States is the...
All right, everybody. Okay. Figured we'd get a little inspiration there. Yeah, absolutely right. You're being told you cannot say certain things. How many people do we hear about, we covered it on this podcast, are arrested because they offended people, whether or not it's right or wrong? How many people we see where whites are arrested now? You know, they're racists, a Nazi racist. They're arrested, thrown in jail, lose everything. Now, is that the right thing to do? Because it's we disagree with it? No, of course not. Right? Let's analyze that a little bit now. How is this? Is society changing for the better because we're not tolerating racism? Now, look, we're going about it the wrong way. Everyone should be entitled to their opinion, no matter how much it offends the other side. No matter what, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It's simple as that. And everything is politicized. Everything is taken into a political conversation today or a religious conversation. And they're conflicting with each other badly. But tyranny is capitalizing upon it. It's gay pride month. Where's the gay flags at? Why aren't the gay flags flying everywhere anymore? What's going on? Anybody know that's gay pride month or gay month now? I mean, well, you know, I disagree with the gay pride movement, but they have a right to speak and say their mind. As long as they're not forcing me to listen to it, then that's different. But where are they today? I mean, I just haven't heard too much about that in the news, really. I got one story here, actually, where they're talking about it. I'm not going to read that one. But, you know, very interesting stories here. I got pulled up here. I just pulled up a couple more. You got mob attacks police responding to London shooting. This is insanity. Insanity. I mean, well, we know out there, over there in England, the people are not allowed to, what, carry guns? Second Amendment. There's no Second Amendment in England. So I thought that was going to cover control. I thought when they got rid of the guns in England that the crime was going to magically go away. Texas governor announces plan to arrest illegal aliens. Oh, boy. That mean old Texas. Mean Texas. That bad state there. Let's see here. Wow. These stories are just insane. They got going on. I mean, this is just insane. Elon Musk exposed. Oh, boy. I don't even get into that one there. But the thought police, you know. You know who woke me up really about the Federal Reserve System and the money, too? Because money is, you know, very important, obviously, to everybody. Ron Paul, you know. Ron Paul. Oh, let's see here. What do we got here? Which one am I going to pick here? It's, I guess this Texas thing on illegal immigration. That's see what Texas plans on doing about this. This was 4 hours ago, I think this was came up posted. I'm not sure. Let's see here. 4 hours, was it? Yeah. There. Appearing on the Sean Hannity show Wednesday, Abbott touted a new disaster declaration issued in 34 countries that allows the state to send more resources. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Send 34 countries, county, excuse me, countries. I'm screwing up here. 34 counties that allows the state to send more resources to the border and start arrests. We're about to change the way Texas addresses the challenges on the border, and we're going to start by helping these 34 counties respond by increasing arrests, Abbott told Hannity. Normally, disaster declarations are for things like hurricanes, Abbott said, explaining the unprecedented step. I don't think this has ever happened before where a disaster declaration was made for the border counties because of the influx of people coming across the border. According to Abbott, the arrest could carry the possibility of jail time due to penalties for the offense of aggravated trespassing. The law that I am going to use will be legal, which Texas is going to start arresting everybody coming across the border, Abbott said. Not just arresting them, but because this is not going to be the aggravated trespass, they are going to be spending half a year in jail. If not a year in jail, as well as other actions that I will be announcing next week. Now, I don't agree with the year in jail thing. I don't. Half a year, whatever it may be. I believe that they should be deported as quickly as possible. I don't agree with imprisoning, putting these people in prison. I mean, now, this now people are going to say, well, you know, listen, how are you going to put a 9-year-old girl in jail? It doesn't outline anything like, you know, how are you going to do that? How are you going to separate a mother and her family for coming over here, for crossing the border? I don't. I mean, come on. How about securing the border and stopping the darn thing, the nonsense from happening? We have the manpower. We have the technology, like I alluded to earlier. So I think this is smoke and mirrors by the governor down there in Texas. I don't think this is going to change anything because that's what the argument is going to come up and raise, rightfully so. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel on that, but, you know. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has essentially signaled a welcome sign to illegals going as far as to mind more taxpayer-funded housing to accommodate the influx. Abbott's disaster declaration issued Tuesday comes as the governor also announced Texas will no longer issue state licenses to facilities that help house unlawful immigrants. President Biden's open border policies have paved the way for dangerous gangs and cartels, human traffickers, and deadly drugs like fentanyl to pour into our communities, Abbott said. Now listen, now that's a crock of crap and you know it, okay? The fentanyl comes from China, all right? Knock it off. Texas continues to step up. We don't want to go after China, right? Well, no, of course not. Texas continues to step up to confront the border crisis in the federal government's absence, but more must be done. Yeah, more must be done, yeah. A lot needs to be done. Oh, boy, let's see. Call 657-383-0616. 657-383-0616. Press number 1, and I'll get you on here. Okay? Check the call boards here. Switch on over. And see if anybody wants to communicate here with me. Hopefully, no trolls here tonight. Let's see here. Let me go back to my board here. Anybody press number 1, do it now, please. All right. Let's see here. 910. You had your hand up there. My 910? No. All right. 962. There you go. 962, you're unmuted. Oh, he just hung up. All right, okay, no one talked. That's probably a troll. That's why I say no troll. I mean, you're wasting time. Anybody else? Preston, one, now I'll get you on. Okay, no takers. Okay, we got about a dozen or so of you on here, so you guys want to listen, that's okay. Let's see here. Go back to my stories here. You know, the illegal immigration. Does anybody have any ideas? I mean, I always want to hear suggestions. Anybody have any ideas on how to fix that problem? I mean, I'm not talking about a Band-Aid fix. I'm talking about a cure to illegal immigration. I mean, I would say you use the Constitution, right? I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, first of all, there's a little bit more to it than that. These countries below our border are, obviously, there's politics going on here. I think Trump had a good idea. You know, close the border. I mean, you just start slapping, stop funding, help sending money to these countries. Stop it. And I'll tell you what, these countries will get their police forces and butts in gear, and they'll put a stop to it. Well, then they're going to pay, you know, people are going to suffer down there. Well, that's not our problem, is it? Okay? Because this country has enough of its own problems, and until we fix our problems, we can't go around rescuing the world from, you know, their problems with manufacturing and their economy and whatnot. We just can't do it. You know, I just don't see where, well, how that could be of an issue to an arguing point for people. Oh, let's see here. Let's go over here. Let's see. Roger Stone throws down gauntlet, wants debate against former Trump advisor Steve Bannon. Boring. Where are the gay flags? All right, I got two emails on that one. All right, you guys want to talk about that one? All right, wait a second. Real quick, this one somebody else wanted. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett team up to build advanced nuclear plant in Wyoming. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. How could Bill Gates build Buffett there build a nuclear plant? In some of the first signs of a nuclear revival in the U.S., after decades of neglect, billionaire Bill Gates, advanced nuclear reactor company Terra Power LLC and Warren Buffett's Pacific Corp have been chosen by Wyoming to build the first natrium reactor project, according to Reuters. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon announced Wednesday that the state has partnered with Terry Power, Rocky Mountain Power, and Pacific Corporation to build a natrium reactor at a retiring coal plant within 7 years. The nuclear plant will replace one of Pacific Corp's coal-fired plants, Gordon said. He said the ability to use nuclear power would allow the state to maintain its future goals for becoming carbon negative while using fossil fuels. And a quote here, he says, "I'm not going to abandon any of our fossil fuel industries. It is absolutely essential to our state," Gordon said. All right. President and CEO of Terra Power said, "Together with Pacific Corp, we're creating the energy grid of the future, where advanced nuclear technologies provide good-paying jobs and clean energy for years to come. The natural technology was designed to solve a challenge utilities face as they work to enhance grid reliability and stability while meeting the decarbon era thinking, I guess you could say, emissions reduction goals. This project is an exciting economic opportunity for Wyoming," citing a natrium advanced reactor at a retiring Wyoming coal plant. "Could ensure that a formerly productive coal generation site continues to produce reliable power for our customers," said Gary Hoogeveen, president and CEO of Rocky Mountain Power, a division of Pacific Corp. The project features a 345-megawatt sodium-cooled fast reactor with molten salt based energy storage to boost the system's power output to 500 megawatt during peak demand hours. The plant is expected to cost $1 billion. Terry Power explains. Okay. Well, nuclear power, you know, an accident there, shut down half the country, you know. I mean, see something going on here. Bill Gates and this guy Buffett, I don't think he's going to last 7 years. Anybody take a look at this guy? He's about freaking 98 years old. Looks like a crinkle quip, potato chip all crinkled up. Maybe he needs to invest in a gym. I mean, you know, this guy's, man, he ain't going to last too much longer, which would be no loss to planet Earth from what I heard. I don't know. I don't think the guy's a nice guy. Let's see here. Russia deputy minister warns new world order being formed right before our very eyes. There you go. There's one. And then I'll check the phone boards again. Russia's deputy defense minister warns new world order being formed right before our eyes. Wow. We are currently witnessing the formation of nothing less than a new world order, with the existing international legal system fracturing and states taking sides in a fresh Cold War, Russia's deputy defense minister has told RT. Colonel General Alexander Fomin spoke to the network ahead of the 9th Moscow Conference on international security, scheduled to take place on June 22nd, June 24th in the Russia capital. The event brings together military officials and security experts from different countries, with some 49 nations having already confirmed their participation. The upcoming conference is explicitly nonpartisan event, and the countries are invited to partake regardless of their current relationship with Russia, Fomin said. There's going to be some kidnappings going on there, probably. Somebody getting kidnapped and put in prison. Discussions like those at the Moscow Forum are particularly important during the challenging times we face. The official added, as the world's political and security landscape is currently experiencing historic shifts, with the old world and crumbling apart. Today we are witnessing the formation of a new world order. We see a tendency for our countries to be drawn into a new Cold War, the states being divided into us and them, with the defined in doctrinal documents as adversaries. The existing system of international relations in the security framework is being systematically destroyed. The role of international organizations as instruments of collective decision-making in the field of security is being diminished. Over the past few years, particularly under former U.S. President Donald Trump, multiple international agreements ceased to exist, effectively only one major accord between Washington and Moscow. The New START Treaty remains after President Joe Biden agreed to extend it for 5 years. Wow. Biden agreed to extend something Trump did, huh? What's up with that? That's odd. The emergence of new weapon systems, as well as the efforts of some nations to bring warfare into areas that have never seen it before, further accelerates the emergence of a new world order. Fundamentally, new types of weapons that are radically changed the balance of power in the modern world are emerging, within warfare getting into new areas, into space, into cyberspace. This, of course, leads to a change in the principles and methods of war, he added. Well, what do you think, guys? I don't know. You know? It's a new world order. Let me check the call boards here. Go back over here. Sorry about the delay. All right, anybody press number one? That's the one, number one. You want to talk about something, the Constitution, the Republic, the New World Order? It's up to you. The New World Order. Is it here? Is it coming upon us? Anybody got any ideas about securing the border? It's your show. I'm throwing it out there to you guys now. If you guys want any takers, then you're more than welcome to participate in the podcast here. I'm not going to take the usual suspect callers that I usually get. I'm skeptical about those private numbers. I got about three or four of you on here. So press number one if you want to talk. If not, then I'm going to play a couple commercials here and go to one more story, and then we'll get ready to wrap up the podcast here. So let's see here. Let's go to 1984. Here we go.
There's no something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there.
USA! USA!
So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Y'all been asking where the Trump supporters are, right? Why we've been so quiet? Where all the Trumpies at, right? That's what I've been hearing. We've been here the whole time. We don't need a safe space. We don't burn down our cities. We don't riot when things don't go our way. And if we lose a fair one, then we accept defeat with humility. But when you try to rob from us, steal from us, and cheat us, then you just started a fight that you're not ready for. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but there's at least four gray states on this map.
Let me make this an absolute fact. The goal is world peace. That must be our prime responsibility. We are the leader of the free world, whether we want to be or not. And therefore, we are the only ones that can preserve the peace. And to do that, we must have strength. Meeting this mission is responsibility for preserving the peace, which I believe is a responsibility peculiar to our country, that we cannot shirk our responsibility as a leader of the free world because we're the only one that can do it.
No weapons of mass destruction were found.
Are you kidding me? Do you buy that? There were.
I was 5 and he was 6. We rode on horses made of sticks. He wore black and I wore white.
Come on, let us shoot.
He would always Blair.
Bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang.
Hey, I need to get the brass to drop ramps. I got a wounded girl. We need to take the rest of mine.
Oh, it's their fault for bringing their kids to a battle.
That's right.
The main reason we went into Iraq at the time was we thought he had weapons of mass destruction. It turns out he didn't, but he had the capacity to make weapons of mass destruction. But I also talked about the human suffering in Iraq.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States. I salute the boys and girls who are buying United States savings stamps and bonds, and they're giving important support to the cause of freedom and the men who fight for us in Vietnam.
Congress gave us this authority in August 1964 to do whatever may be necessary. That's pretty far-reaching. That's the sky's the limit.
As an American citizen, you have to respect our president, whether I like it or not. It's really not my decision, but I do respect my president, and I will support whatever decision he makes.
Music played and people sang. Just for me, the church bells rang.
It is a hard fact that U.S. strikes have resulted in civilian casualties.
Don't know why, and till this day sometimes I cry. He didn't even say goodbye, he didn't take the time to lie.
The United States knows that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
One of the first things they told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply. That reply is being given.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation.
All right, everybody. Okay, understand the times. I got a couple over here requests here. They asked me about the that one there I played with Haggy there. I got another one here for him that kind of pertains to the New World Order. Since we talk about the New World Order a lot, so I'll play that one for you guys. Hopefully the audio sound quality will be pretty good. We'll see what happens. And if you guys got any content or questions, you'd be more than happy to. We still got a little bit of time here left, so I'll just go ahead and run it. I got this. Somebody sent me an instant message, so we'll play it for him.
Are controlled by corrupt leftist politicians. They violate the Constitution of the United States. We were told that you can't leave your house for 6 weeks. You can't go to work. If you don't go to work, you don't get paid. What politicians don't stop to think is their salary goes on. It makes no difference what they do. Your salary is cut off if you don't go to work. Now back to Nimrod. Nimrod's compulsion for absolute control set the foundation for the New World Order. Nimrod intended to become the dictator of both the government and the counterfeit religion that he and his wife put together. Consider Nimrod's counterfeit religion, and this is in Genesis 11. Nimrod married a woman named Semiramis. He declared himself to be the king of Babylon, and his mystical bride as its first queen and high priestess of idolatry. Here at Babel in Genesis 11 is introduced as the first organized idolatrous religious system in the history of the world, and it survives until today. Samir must know enough about the revelation of God to know that God had promised that the seed of the woman would bring blessings to the world in Genesis 3:15. She had a son. She named that son Tammuz. Tammuz. Samir must claim that her son was divine, and the divine fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Have you got all that together? Here we go. She made herself and her son the objects of worship. The symbol of this false religious system was called the mother-child cult, with the mother holding the child in her arms. This cult spread to Phoenicia, and then to Pergamos, and then into Asia Minor. And we find it in Revelation 2:12-13, where the Bible says, quote, Pergamos is the place of Satan's throne. Pergamos is the place of Satan's throne. Satan lives there because the mother-child cult was there. From Pergamos, it went to Rome. I want you to hear this, church. We are on this earth, according to this book, to be salt and light. Salt stops corruption, which means it irritates. Light destroys darkness. Satan is the prince of darkness. Socialism is darkness. But we are the source of truth to a nation that's now stumbling in deception because of our national leadership. We are the source of hope. There are people who are giving up hope on themselves and hope on this country. We are built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, who is hope to the hopeless. We are the source of confidence. This book and the Church of Jesus Christ are the source of confidence. God is with us. I've been asked 1,000 times, what are we going to do? We're going to press on because God is with us and everything is going to be all right. We are submitted to God Almighty and to His Son, Jesus Christ. End of story. Whatever someone cooks up, it does not affect us. We are in another government with another king, with another constitution, and we'll stand on this. Samirama set herself up as the only approach to God. She adopted the title of the Queen of Heaven. She taught that salvation came through her by the means of sprinkling of water and ceremonial cleansing. There was a purgatorial cleansing after death. She created temple virgins that are now known as nuns to pray for her son, who was allegedly killed by a wild beast. They were to fast for 40 days, that is now called Lent. And at the end of those 40 days, they would celebrate the Feast of Ishtar, which we now call Easter. They gave colored eggs to each other to celebrate eternal life. You see how much this has followed us all of these thousands of years? We're still doing it. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, audience across the nation. We, the body of Christ, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ at Easter and nothing else. We celebrate His victory over death, hell, and the grave. Because He lives, we shall live also. He and He alone is the resurrection and the life. Give Him praise and glory in the house of God. This mother-child cult spread to Israel when Ahab, the king of Israel, married Jezebel. He married a foreigner who had been raised in the mother-child cult. Jezebel immediately started putting the prophets of God into prison. They actually put them in caves, but they were prisons. Why? Because a socialist dictatorship cannot stand a Bible-preaching ministry. Soon afterwards, Israel started worshiping Baal. Think about this. the people who received the Ten Commandments, the mother-child cult, and God sent severe judgment on Israel. When God called Abraham out of Ur, he called him out of a home that was devoted to the worship of the mother-child cult. Abraham's father kept his idols to the day he died. Joshua 24:2, God commanded Abraham to leave his father's house in Genesis 12. Why? Because there must be separation between light and darkness. What you are willing to walk away from will determine what God can bring you to. You must walk away from darkness before you can embrace the light. 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible speaking through the pen of St. Paul. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? Listen. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be separate from the world. That's God's command to the church. We're not trying to be like the world. We are the light of the world. Turn on the light.
Keep it a little bit like
all right, everybody. Joseph Gibson here, podcasting, understanding the time. I'm going to put that off there. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Let's get that, shut that down. All right. Well, I tell you what, it irritates. I like that. Salt irritates. I like that. I irritate a lot of people. I love that. Come out from the world. Hey, I'm nowhere part of this world, let me tell you that. But, you know. But with that comes a price, and yeah, that's fine. I'll get my rewards in heaven. I stand firm on restoring the republic and law. Law. There has to be law and order. There has to be. But when the law becomes corrupt, what do you do? You know, when the law is no longer law, what do you do? You know, we know, and I talk about this so much on here where, you know, we beat it up and people get aggravated and frustrated because I'm the salt irritating them until they wake up and understand it. I remember that night we were talking about the 14th Amendment. They changed the word from person to citizen. Now, if you look now, people go, big deal. It's just, we all know what it means. No, under the law, it means something different. Black's Law Dictionary, look it up. It has a different meaning. Okay, and people don't understand this, and they don't get it. You know, you have to understand it. It's just, and we talk about this where people give me advice about some things that I'm going through about, you know, you got to walk into court and say this and say that. Listen, that does is, you know, that's not going to work. You have to pick your you know, you're irritating people in a mindful way. You know, because when you're standing alone and you have nobody backing you up, You got to imagine what Jesus Christ must have felt like standing there alone, you know, by himself, you know. Imagine that. And we don't give show, and we here we are disrespecting him. I mean, you know, every single day. I mean, for goodness sake, even if you don't believe, I mean, you're not showing any respect at all whatsoever by disrespecting him, by living an ungodly, unclean life. I don't know, you know, what to say. Like I said, I don't want to turn it into a preaching choir here tonight, but sometimes, you know, things have to be said for certain reasons, and people will go back and listen to this show. Now, everyone knows that I'm trying to, an attempt to run for the public as a legislator here in North Carolina. I've already filed my notice. Well, it's not filed. It won't be filed until July, but I filed mine. But so it's on record, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So this way here, when they accept the submissions there or the filings, then my name will go out there. Now, as far as the platform goes, the Constitution Party, that's what I'm going to be trying to get to back me up, the Constitution Party in North Carolina. My reservations go out with that some. Last year, I missed the deadline for the filing, and they were all backing me up. Now that I'm way ahead of the game here, nobody wants to, you know, nobody trying to, you know, get ready here. You know, you have to be ready and prepared. Now, last year at that time, you know, I was an elector. You know, I was looking at that earlier. I'm going to try to find that right now where, you know, I was nominated as an elector. And people say, well, what's that? Well, you know, that's why, you know, a lot, the election there, I covered the election on my show, went over some of that. I'm going to try to pull up the letter here. You know, we have to get involved more. every single day, somehow, some which way. I'm not saying go out and start yelling at people and that kind of street activism. And yeah, here it is right here. They sent me this letter on September 14th, 2020. Says, service as an elector in North Carolina's Electoral College. Dear Mr. Gibson, congratulations on being nominated as a presidential elector candidate by your political party. I am writing to provide you with information which will be important to you as an elector if you are elected in the November general election. Save the date. This is from the State of North Carolina Department of Secretary of State. Ann B. Wall, General Counsel, and Elaine F. Marshall, Secretary of State. So the date, time, and location for the meeting of the electors are set for the United States Constitution, and the general statutes of North Carolina as follows. When, Monday, December 14, 2020, what time, 12 o'clock noon, where, the old State Capitol House of Representatives, Chamber of Raleigh. Please put this date on your calendar now. North Carolina law requires that the electors be present for the meeting. During the meeting, the electors vote for president and vice president and then sign and certify their votes. As we plan for the meeting, we are taking, of course, into account the necessary health and safety measures related to the COVID-19 pandemic at this time. However, you should assume that if you are elected to the state office of elector, you will need to be present in Raleigh on the date at the time and place shown above. We will provide you additional information in the event you are called upon to serve as a result of the November election. Okay? So, and then it goes on about the qualification standards and whatnot. And, and it's signed sincerely Ann Wald, General Counsel. This is from Mr. Al Pisano, Chair of our party there I'm affiliated with. That's obvious. So I know what happened during the election. That's why I covered it. So, and that's why I keep this handy because a lot of people, we get into discussions when I'm out in general public and whatnot, and I always debate these Democrats out there, Democrats that just, they're the most egotistical nonsense stuff comes out of their mouth that I just cannot believe. I mean, and then I show them this letter, and I say, I know what I'm talking about when the corruption, and, you know, the corruption of the election. And I start talking about the Republican and whatnot and how, you know, the Constitution like I do on here. And people just and it goes in one ear and out the other, for the most cases, and people don't know what they're really talking about. They're spewing out of their mouth a bunch of nonsense. You know, the election was a fraud. Because the reason why I'm bringing this up is I got three emails here while that was playing there because they wanted to say, remember that show you did back in December, you know, you said you were an elector? Well, you know, I just read you the letter, so yeah. And attached it as my party affiliation voter card and whatnot, so with my address and whatnot. And so at that time I was affiliated with a Republican, okay? So I don't know if I'm still affiliated with them or not. Like I said, because I'm running out, I filed my notice. I'm with the Constitution Party. So it's got my ID on it and everything. So I'm not going to read that over here. But, if there's any Republicans out there and you say, well, why did you do that? Why did you leave the Republican Party? Because I get pounded with letters constantly on that. The conservatives are I believe that's a lost cause. I don't think the Republicans are going to achieve anything in the next election. I believe that from what I see and the inside information I get from the polling and whatnot, they have money, a big deal. You know, the two-party system is financed by the same money. Same money goes to the same, to the parties. But their platforms are not consistent with what I believe and what I believe change should happen. In my state, at least, at the very least, you know, like I said, I believe in restoring the original Constitution. And I opened up the show here tonight talking about prisons and control and how people are controlled and the corruption in the system. And people say, well, that's just the way it is. No, it's not just the way it is, and I'm not going along with it because look at what I just played for you right there, Mr. Hagee talking about. Look, you have to – well, look, I understand that I stand on a different system, the government. I'm part of God's government, you know, his constitution up there in heaven. But the problem is I'm here now on earth, and what I do here now on earth, according to my works, I'll be judged. And that's what I played also. So therefore, I cannot say that I'm just, you know, passing through and these things don't concern me, because they do concern me, and I'm going to be, you know, held accountable for what I do and how I react to certain situations. So, you know, that's why I call upon people to get involved. You have got to get involved. Nobody is. I don't see the numbers. I'll tell you what, this time last year, I saw so many people, and I used to have so many, I was, the conversations I would have, even on this podcast. I remember 2 years ago, this, you know, the people that would call in. Now, I remember I had Mandelicon on here, and I had Angel Lady Love on here, and, you know, some of those other people that were controversial and whatnot, and they would, you know, come on here with their rhetoric, you know. But Mandelicon was an activist. I mean, you know, I didn't agree with his Mother Earth stuff. I mean, there's, you know, Mother Earth, there's no, you know, I'm not going to be down with that. So, and I took some flack for that, actually. Some women called in and gave me some flack. But we're still talk today. But, you know, look, the thing of it is that the bottom line is, that's how you feel, I used to tell them. This is what your opinion is. What's the facts? What's the facts that you stand behind on your belief? You have, you know, if you're going to believe in something, don't you want to believe in something that is true? Not be deceived? And you know, here we go. I get this. Comments about the Bible. Well, you know, what's one person say? This was a couple weeks ago. They said the holy books. Or the holy books. Unreal. But anyway, all right. Well, if there's anything on your mind here tonight, you can press 1. We still got a little bit of time here left to get you in here. Press 1. I kicked off 3 people that were on the queue here. I blocked. I think I figured out how to block their numbers so they can't call back in. So that's a plus right there. Because I'm not going to listen to the noises and sound, silly sounds. And, you know, if you're going to call into this show from now on to the future, if you don't have any type of content that's going to bring some sort of conversation of balance or a substance, you're not getting on here. I'm going to do my best to keep you off. I just don't need it. God's Rainbow Ministries, all those people, I just don't want you on here. You have nothing of substance to offer whatsoever. Tony Talk, all that, you know, stay over there with your, you know, and keep doing what you're doing. Because I want to ask you this. What have you done to educate anyone or help anybody? And you can sit back at the end of the day and say, I did something positive. You know, if you made people laugh, if you made them laugh at something, that's not positive, because you didn't help them, you know. You didn't help them. And that's really what radio, remember what JFK said, you know, we're the media, alternative media right now. We have to arouse the people, and we have to use our First Amendment wisely and use it properly to sometimes anger people, but bring them to think in a positive way that better themselves. And that's what the platforms really should be about. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what your opinion is on that. I know I had Cough there in the chat room, and he kind of, but he didn't see none of his friends there. Is Ashley there and all the other wackos that are in there. So, but, all right. Let's see here. I got a couple private callers. I got I got some supporters on the phone here tonight. If you don't want to contribute, that's fine. I'll take us out with a commercial. Like I said, if I see you guys queue in here for the last 10 minutes, I'll bring you on. Not, then I'll just say God bless the Republic, and hopefully you took something away from the podcast here tonight. I hope that I appeased my supporters by keeping the trolls off and not having any debates or arguments about silly things. We'll leave it at that. Let's see here. I got 10 minutes of motivation, I guess. I'll play you motivation maybe, or anybody want to learn about the New World Order? Yeah, we talked about that already. So let's see, where's my motivational clip? Well, let's see here. Go out here and play. Oh, let's play this one here. You know,
I think at one time or another we've all questioned as to whether all that we see and are experiencing in our world has some sort of a rational plan behind it. Because we understand now that both the Republican and the Democratic Party in our country are basically run by the same people. The same money finances both sides. We now know, of course, through the work of many historians who have spent their life working on research to show us that both sides of world conflicts have always been financed by the same people. And as I've said before, there seems to be a method to the madness going on in the world. We know, of course, that We cannot depend on our leaders. Our leaders are misleaders. There is a science that they're following. They have their own agenda, and it doesn't include you. What your government pays for, it gets. If you are paid to do something for the government, they will extract from you exactly what they have paid for. When we understand that, then we look at universities and schools, government-financed institutions of education, and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools. Logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They're getting what they have paid for. They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, game shows, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind entertained so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it. And all American citizens, I think, have suspected something like this is going on. But we're all too busy trying to stay alive and live our lives. And after all, what can one person do about it? This is the most powerful government the world has ever known. They had the ability to get a hold on Adolf Hitler 50 years ago. He had a standing army, the greatest navy, air force, military, secret underworld organizations operating throughout the world. But this government got a hold on Adolf Hitler because it chose to and it wanted to. And if you do not pay your income taxes, they will find you if you go to the Amazon jungle, and they will make an example of you. They will find you and they will deal with you, and you know it. But for some reason, they're unable to get a handle on drugs and the crime in the streets for some reason.
Music. From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're live. It is Sunday, the 9th day of January, 2011. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. Jim Mars, historian, researcher, professor, best-selling author, will be joining us live because he's a real expert when it comes to confirmed evidence of Manchurian candidate-type activity with Sirhan Sirhan, Mark David Chapman, John Hinckley Jr., and many others. In fact, you know, I read books he wrote 15 years ago or more, breaking down Sirhan Sirhan and Robert Kennedy and that whole situation. And years later, in 2005, 2008, and mainstream news like the London Independent, London Guardian, even Reuters here in the United States, reporting on the fact that they'd done the acoustic checks and the bullet checks and that Sirhan Sirhan wasn't the guy that shot Robert F. Kennedy. That's what the police and others said at the time, and that he was just there firing wildly, and then while his hand was pinned down, shots were still being fired. And we even now know the CIA agent who was there firing the shots from behind Sirhan Sirhan. And obviously the reason we're going to be covering this coming up in 45 minutes is because of the unfolding situation that happened yesterday morning at a grocery store there in Arizona, in Tucson. Jared Lee Loeffner, they've always got three names, don't they? Poets and assassins. Jared Lee Loeffner, And there's a dead federal judge. He shot the Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords into the brain, but she reportedly is alive and responsive. The brain's amazing. You know, they've had cases in mining explosions where a crowbar is all the way through someone's head and it's removed and they're fine. Or they've had cases where somebody gets punched in the temple lightly and they fall over dead. So we hope for her the best. And I've seen some people out there on the web saying, oh, too bad that, you know, that he didn't get all of Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, the fundamental problem in this country and worldwide is us individually. Sure, the Supreme Court legalized abortion back in 1973, and we've had 51 million dead babies since then. But what's wrong with us as a country that we haven't educated people that this is barbaric and wrong? You know, Congress has gotten out of control because we've let them get out of control. And if more of this happens, the system is going to use this to push a crackdown on the population, and that's going to explode even bigger and cause more dead people on both sides. And statistically leans towards the globalist favor if we get violent. I don't want violence. I want to have a peaceful restoration of our republic. And this guy hooked in with the white supremacists, very creepy Fed-run gaggle of individuals, and that adds towards the weight on one side that this was a federal mind control operation, which are very real. I mean, those are admitted in 1977 congressional hearings to be one of the biggest covert, not just CIA, but defense intelligence, overall Pentagon, private university operations ever. I mean, they are obsessed with mind control, erasing memories, creating kind of wind-up toy people who have their memory erased but have a total compulsion. And that's what Jared Lee Loeffner on his MySpace and Facebook and all these places said. I can't rest. I've got to do this. I've got a compulsion. Sorry. Now, that also mirrors what a regular, out-of-their-mind, violent, schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic would do, because they artificially create an artificial paranoid schizophrenia, and then they point it and direct the compulsion that everything's going to be all right, and they're going to be in a heaven, Mount Olympus, Valhalla, Nirvana, great consciousness-expanding moment when they kill their subject. But it's hard to tell if it was a mind-control operation or not, because both mirror each other. But it's got the telltale cookie-cutter signs there. We'll be breaking it all down when we come back on the other side of this quick break. Jim Maher's coming up in about 40 minutes. I'm Alex Jones. The Drudge Report is linked to one of our key articles. We'll cover that when we come back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. It is the ninth day of January 2011 on this Sunday edition. We have former Fort Worth Star-Telegram crime reporter, professor, best-selling author, researcher. He wrote the book that was, of course, then turned into Oliver Stone's film JFK. Jim Maher's joining us in about T-minus 40 minutes. He will be joining us from the DFW area. He is an expert on political assassination, both where they just have patsies and have somebody they set up and blame for the shooting, a James Earl Ray, a Lee Harvey Oswald, or a Tim McVeigh type operation where they blame the operation on one of their throwaway puppets. But he's also an expert on confirmed instances and the congressional reports of 1977 on MKUltra, MK Naomi. Mind control. Now, I don't know if this Jared Lee Loeffner, who from his own Facebook photos looks like a complete demon, I don't know if this guy's under mind control or not, but we know that Sirhan Sirhan was, that's even the London Independent and London Guardian, here's the headlines right here, was Robert Kennedy killed by a real Manchurian candidate-style assassin? That's what the L.A. Police Department thinks. London Guardian, new evidence challenges official picture of Kennedy's shooting. Same thing. So that's all come out on that front. Sirhan Sirhan, Mark David Chapman, John Hinckley Jr. We're going to be talking about that coming up with Jim Maher in about 40 minutes, as I said. By the way, the reason a lot of that mind control questions are there is, and we can punch this up on screen, we're not just a radio show, we're also streaming a video of everything we're talking about at prisonplanet.tv if you want to go over and actually watch it. Here's a screenshot from his YouTube channel. It hasn't been taken down yet. His MySpace was, but we were able to copy that. And the whole thing is mind control. He says, if I'm the mind controller, then I control the belief and the religion. And I've studied the creepy declassified evidence of MKUltra, MKNaomi, the admitted government mind control operation, and the people who are under mind control always believe they are the mind controller, and they always believe they're working for the government on a secret mission. Well, it turns out he told people months ago he was on a secret mission for the government. We have sworn affidavits from Terry Nichols and others that McVeigh told the guards and others at every prison he was at that he'd been on a secret mission for the government. And then we were able to get FBI documents via FOIA lawsuits, and it turned out he was working for the government. Kind of like Fox News reported 3 months ago, Anwar al-Awlaki, number three in al-Qaeda on 9/11, number one in operations under bin Laden today, secretly meeting at the Pentagon 2 months after 9/11 with the Army top brass, including the Secretary of the Army. Oh, he ran the Fort Hood shooter, who was also a psychiatrist and wrote about mind control. He ran the underwear bomber that witnesses saw last Christmas, the Christmas before last, a little over a year ago, looking drugged and disheveled, being put on the plane without a passport. Later, that was confirmed. Detroit Free Press, Associated Press, 2 months after our witnesses on this show, listeners of this broadcast, Kurt Haskell and his wife, both lawyers, witnessed the whole thing. And the FBI said it wasn't true. And 2 months later, the Undersecretary of State, Mr. Kennedy, came out and said, yes, we were ordered to get him on the plane by an unnamed intelligence agency. AP, boom, in your face. Boom. Who's running him? A CIA asset, Anwar al-Awlaki. Boom. Okay, so for anybody living in denial about this, this is the facts, and I'm going to walk through all of it. But the establishment didn't waste any time. Within hours, they were on his Facebook, on his MySpace, on his YouTube, and I have watched all the videos on there. I spent all my time yesterday, hours and hours today, deeply researching it. I checked of the millions of comments on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, nothing from him, nothing on the web associated with us, Ron Paul, anybody. And so what does the Southern Poverty Law Center do with Mr. Potok? He blames Ayn Rand, the Fountainhead author. We got this clip coming up, and David Icke, can't even get his name right, calls him David Icke, calls him a right-winger. If David Icke doesn't believe in the left-right paradigm, but if he was anything, you'd call him a New Age leftist, though he wouldn't like that term. That's the closest mainline label. I mean, the guy's all into higher consciousness, basically Buddhism and total nonviolence. I mean, now they're getting kind of, you know, guys, a guy that covers UFOs and stuff, blaming it on him, who calls for total nonviolence. I mean, we're going to get David on this week to respond to it. I mean, this is crazy. I'm just glad they're not blaming yours truly. Remember back in 2009, Richard Poplawski, his mother was kicking him out of the house. He had two pit bulls urinating all over the floor. He just got out of the Marine Corps. He was drunk in the early morning hours. He refused to get rid of the dogs. His mother tried to kick him out. He threw a fit, shot three cops when they got there. Within hours, the news said he did it because of me. And then we actually got the contents were made public of his internet. He was visiting CNN, Fox, and he was all over my website attacking me because I'm against violence. And he was a white supremacist. But they blame, and I forced a retraction in five newspapers. But within 2 hours of those cops being dead, they tried to blame yours truly. I mean, I'm the one being death threatened by the white supremacists. Go on the internet. It's everywhere. I'm sick of it. And And you know why, don't you? Because we forced it out in the news, and then it came out in the Orlando newspaper 3 years ago that the FBI was creating and running the white supremacist groups and having marches through black and Hispanic neighborhoods. We forced it out that Hal Turner was an FBI national security asset that's now come out in federal court, that talk show host who attacked me every day and sent people after me trying to get folks to do violent things. They don't like it because I know they work for the feds. We have the lawyers on like Jesse Trinidu, who sued and got the documents that the Southern Poverty Law Center was running Elohim City that McVeigh was at. Not infiltrating it, running it. They set this stuff up, and that's why they're after me. And they're very dangerous. Very, very, very dangerous people. Okay? And that's why the white supremacists are after yours truly, because I know who they're working for. They go out and find mentally ill, insane, violent people, and they try to get them to go out and do violent things so they can use that to crack down on everybody's free speech, everybody's Second Amendment. Just like it's come out, New York Times, Washington Post. I just covered it again Friday. It was in Salon, you know, headline. Martinez, he was the latest bomber they were going to have in Maryland. Couldn't cook bomb, couldn't get anything ready. The FBI recruited him, tried to help him make it. They go out and find mentally ill prison convicts and people, and if they're Mexican, they try to make them Muslims. Or if they're black, they try to make them Muslims. Or if they're Hispanic, they try to make them Muslims. If they're white, they try to make them white supremacist. And that's what the prisons are. We have the biggest prison population in the world. And in the prisons, you got the white supremacist wing, you got the Mexican supremacist wing, you got the black supremacist wing, and that's the end of it. And that's, the government actually fosters that and puts you in your wing, and then they're giant colleges of how to be an extremist dirtbag. And then they get out of prison, and the FBI and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all these groups are there to handle them and manipulate them and control them. Now, this guy fits the bill. And we've got an incredible photo of him up at Infowars.com from his Facebook, and we'll put it up on screen when we come back from break. But it's the top photo on our article, and it's updated. Arizona assassin obsessed with mind control. Obsessed with mind control. And again, the article is up on the Drudge Report. It's one of the top stories up on the Drudge Report. He's linked to our report. Arizona assassin obsessed with mind control. And then we have links to the congressional hearings admitting the CIA does have mind control. We have links to all the mainstream news articles admitting that mind control has been involved in other assassinations. And we're going to walk through all of this ahead of Jim Marsh joining us. Now, I'm not saying he was under mind control, but if we know mind control exists, and we know our government and other governments have been involved in it, and he fits the MO of that, and they're already politically using this out of the gates, we're going to look at it. He may have just been a complete violent, paranoid schizophrenic, which then mirrors what mind control looks like, because they artificially create that schizoid condition.
We've got it.
Everybody, Joseph Gibson podcasting here live. That kind of resonates there, that little clip there from some events here that occurred on my podcast. If I remember correctly, I think some of the callers there that remember that. I did not air that podcast. I deleted it. If everyone knows correctly that the certain people, not maybe they've obviously, we're not representing a certain group. I'm not going to name the group, but apparently it's a neo-Nazi group. They apparently called in here, and those of you who remember, and I'm not going to give any names, but threatened to kill me. And it was about a 30-minute long spat, and then they started attacking my callers, and they were going to kill them too and whatnot. So, but I deleted the episode, and hopefully now it's dead in the water. But like I said, I'm not going to mention any names, but the people that were on that night, they know exactly what I was talking about. It carried on for about longer than 30 minutes, actually. I mean, this guy was going to do everything, every which way known to mankind, to kill me. I mean, he was getting in his car as we speak, as we were speaking. I mean, he was drinking beer. I mean, he was coming to get me. I don't know what a Jewish lie is. He was telling me I'm a Jewish liar, you know. I mean, it was I'm not Jewish, by the way. But, you know, and then I was a black man, let's see, because he was calling, you know. And I mean, this guy was just totally insane, you know. I mean, it was insanity. I just don't get where he's coming, where they get this stuff from. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to mention any names. But that happened here. So what Alex Jones was talking about right there is true. And that was a show done a long time ago. That one, mine was done a couple days ago. And so, you know, and that's what they do. And if you remember correctly, this I remember my friend MandelaCon there. I remember that's how I actually met. I was over there on another show, and some people were attacking me. So I was talking about they were going to come get me. So, you know, and we were talking about that earlier, you know, where the salt irritates people. We're the salt of the earth. We're here to spread the salt, irritate people. And, if, you know, we're the light. There's no room for darkness. And, you know, there's no place for darkness in a room filled with light. You know, so, you know, and we're not, our truth, is, you know, telling the truth is a revolutionary act in times of deceit. So, you know, and deceiving times. So is our government involved in mind control and whatnot? I mean, you know, if you have to look at the story there and say, obviously these things are happening right before our very eyes. They're happening. And, you know, so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to stop this? How are you helping others out there? How are you even associating yourself with others out there to fix things in your community, in your house, within your family, within your classrooms, your local stores? Are you communicating with people? You know, in a way that is not a waste. At the end of the day, you say, I wasted today, I wasted that day, I wasted this time. You know, I mean, what are you doing? You know, some people say, well, you're going to get out there and get in their face. You know, no, listen, there's other, you know, everyone has their own individual, unique way of communicating with people to express themselves. And that's just who we are as a human race, as a people, to express ourselves, to change. You know, but others out there are doing it to control because they have an agenda, and that agenda does include you. And that's a pretty sad viewpoint to have in your life, to not include other people out there, you know, whatever reasons you may have. You know, and then, of course, tonight earlier we talked about the prison population and what my ideas were on how to fix this problem. Because majority of the people don't belong in prison. They don't belong to be caged. You know, I mean, I would say almost all, you know, there's so many that, you know, I mean, look, if you go out and you shoot a store clerk in the head and you kill that woman because she's out there working, you know, obviously you have to be dealt with. I mean, we can't have that. You know, anyone who wants to hurt a child just because, that is disgusting. You know, it's just not right. You don't hurt children, never, for any reason whatsoever. It doesn't matter what your reasons you think are right or correct. You don't do it. You know, and what possesses you or anyone out there to ever hurt a child? I just cannot fathom it in my mind. It's kind of like God. It's kind of hard. We can't fathom really what our Creator is. Why? And when you sit down and think about it, you'll drive yourself insane. You know, try to put the perspective on what God really is, what your Creator really is. You know, so, but anyway, that was tonight, though. We did have an interesting podcast as far as information goes. I got a bunch of emails there saying they enjoyed that. If anyone has any content they want to add or share of their own real quick, you're more than welcome to 657-383-0616, 657-383-0616. Press the number 1. And I'll connect you. I don't put callers into a green room. That's what they call it here on Blog Talk. And then, you know, figure out what you want to say and give you a chance to dupe me and then get you on and you say something stupid. You know, so, you know, I don't screen callers. It's all 100% live. And then the show is downloaded and then it's distributed out all over. It's on the various networks, iTunes, Apple, SoundCloud now, Stitcher. I don't have it on YouTube yet. You know, so we'll... we get it out there. So a lot of people will listen to your voice and hear what you have to say. So that's why I always say use your time wisely when you come onto this podcast. Just trust me, we do have quite a following of people that do download this podcast. So without further ado, let's see here. Any takers tonight? Because we are winding down in time-wise. So I did put the invitation out there. I did have two that did. They jumped off here. That's fine. I did get rid of a few callers, and were not able to get through, which is a good thing. So we're making headway there. I do see some people in the chat room there. Let's see. Koshoff. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. He's been in there a few times. Let's see. 69 Mike Hunt. I don't remember having a conversation with him. I don't see Sarge out there tonight. Sarge, where have you been, Sarge? Usually he's, we did a good show, Sarge and I, on Memorial Day there. Did a very good podcast. I got a lot of thumbs up on that one. Sarge went in depth about the Vietnam War and, other wars, and we analyzed it, and I played a good documentary there about how wars are funded by both sides. For the last 100 years, and we went into that a little bit. That was pretty good. So if you missed that, go back. That was on Monday night. It's a good show to download. Show your support for the podcast. And look, man, one day these shows are going to be gone. This platform is going to be gone. Free speech, they're cracking down. If we don't stop and get involved now and take part and get involved with each other, it's going. Just think about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, how much liberties you have lost. Compared to now, compare those days with today. You always hear that old saying, remember when we were young and free? So we're losing. We're losing our liberties. They're taking them away. And when I say they, it's the people that want to control, that have a different agenda. Is tomorrow the end of the world? No. Is the sky falling? No. But are we in trouble? Yes. So, it's what do you do? I always like to hear what people are doing out there. That's something that, instead of complaining about the problems, I like to hear what people do. How are you getting involved? And I also addressed about me running for the Constitutional Party here in North Carolina. I read you the letter there from that I had last year from the General Counsel there, Ann B. Wolf, North Carolina, State of North Carolina, Secretary of State sent me a letter back in September of last year about being an elector. So, I am involved down here and trying to do my best to do my part here and taking part in certain things and aspects. So your opinions matter because, let me tell you something, if I was to get elected to the legislative offices here, I would listen to what the people have to say. I'd represent their views, not my views, not my committee's views, not my constituents' views, you. Your views, now, can everybody get their way and have what they want? No, but everybody can make a difference in what the representatives represent or how they represent you. So that's what that's the only thing I could do. Like I said, is put that message out there for people and go from there. So let's see here. Check the board again. I'll check. Let me go over here and check real quick. Got two screens here. I got to check, and then I'll press. If you want to come on, you press one. And we'll get you on here. No, you're not coming on there. You won't be on here. Don't stop pressing one if you're not coming on. I'm not gonna dissipate the show here. I'm not gonna turn it upside down. Anybody have something that, like I said, something, or maybe a suggestion maybe for a show topic in the future? That's I haven't asked people for that in a long time, so I'm going to put that out there in the future. If people have a show idea on this platform or something that they'd like me to do as far as the content of the show, then send me a suggestion or call in on the next podcast also, because I always like to hear what you have to say. Your show ideas. Actually, some of the ideas I get from people actually turn out to be some of the best shows I've done over the years. That's very, very interesting. Not my idea, your idea actually was the great shows they turn out to be. So because we're building a different type of platform here, to give people more of a voice and whatnot without the nonsense. So I do have a couple takers here, so let's go to the board here, which because time is winding down. 814, go ahead, 814.
Joey,
area code 814. Yes.
What
How you doing?
Have you done? Joey,
what have I done
Joey,
with
what have
That's what you
done?
Want to say? Well, he's singing. You're singing. You're singing. Maybe you should make a record. You know, Joey, huh? he waited to all 2 hours there to say, Joey, what have I done? What have I done? I don't know. Let's see. What do you know something I don't know? Let's see. You got my curiosity piqued. Go ahead. I'll bring you back on since the end of the show. What's up? What's on your mind?
Joey.
You're unmuted.
Joey.
Just wanted to sing.
What have you done?
Okay. That's it. That's entirely. You need to add words to that song, maybe? We're trying to make a song, Joey. When you finish writing this song, call me back, and maybe we'll add to it, and we'll document it. Maybe we'll send it out to a record company. Anything else, 814? No?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, wait a minute. What? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Joey.
All right. Well, very good. Hey, he's learning, man. He's learning, and that's the content of our character on Blog Talk Radio tonight. Hey, everybody. If you got any show ideas, call me or send me an email or send me a message on social media. We'll get you on here. If you want your own platform here for like 30 minutes, I know it's an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's hard to fill that much time unless you got a real long in-depth story. If you want 30 minutes to talk, or I'll be more than happy to give it to you. I'm here on Blog Talk Radio, Understanding the Times in Which You Live Today. So let me check my suggestion box here, my comment section here, emails and whatnot. Nothing there either. Okay, I did have something there earlier, and we addressed those. All right, everybody, I'd say God bless the Republic, and until next time, be safe, take care of yourself, and try to contribute in a positive way.
God save the Republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appeal to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. God save the Republic.
All right, everybody. God bless the Republic, and take care. Be safe, and we'll wrap it up here tonight. Take care.